This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels. Round three, fight.
Ding. I do like her suit, Georgia's. It's powerful.
She's just waiting till the dunce gets off the floor. Yeah.
You done there, buddy?
Annoyed.
You done, Skippy? Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye. Well, that's the attorney. He's a guy. He's Dennis' assistant.
Yeah, he's not the audiovisual guy, but he's acting like one.
Y'all tired of hearing lawyers talk yet? Down for another hour or two?
Oh, God.
I think I've got 7 minutes. He hasn't started the timer yet.
She's got seven minutes.
They're all giving 2 hours total.
It does not matter what Miss Fulford thinks, if she's right, if she's wrong, if I'm right, if I'm wrong, what the lawyers say is not evidence. You have the evidence before you. They say it means one thing. I say it means something else. Only you guys decide, right? I think outside your house means outside your house. But apparently outside your house means something else. I think a very contentious divorce means a very contentious divorce. They think it means an amicable divorce. You guys decide, right? Look at the evidence and you guys decide. Is everything not what it seems and actually something else? You guys decide. A TV repair appointment is not an alibi because she could have changed it to earlier, but she didn't change it to earlier. That's where she was when he was getting killed. That's an alibi. This TV, that doesn't mean, that's not code. That's a hint. A hint for what? It's code. What does it involve? The two of us. Oh, well, that actually means it doesn't involve the two of us because we're being extorted. We're victims. It doesn't involve us. So what does it involve? The two of us actually means it does not involve the two of us. That's what we've heard. A one-way non-extradition ticket to Vietnam? It's not fleeing. It's a setup. How did I set her up? I didn't make her do that. I didn't get her a fast track visa. I didn't get her a one-way ticket. She did that. She made those choices. Wendy didn't bother to tell her mom she was ready to give up on the relocation. Yes, she did. Look in the emails. She was giving up and Donna wasn't having it. That's when she gets the totally unhinged email from her mother suggesting you're not going to give up. You want to move on with a sense of peace? Hell no, we're going to fight this guy. We're going to dress your kids up as Nazis. That's what happened when she when Wendy suggested giving up. Never, never, never give up, right? This murder charge is not based on the fact that she said some bad words. I mean, I'd be facing murder just in this courtroom. Obviously, that is not what this case is about. You've got to look at all the evidence. I mean, it is death by a thousand cuts. It is powdered sugar. You've got to look at the whole thing and make a decision. And I'm sorry that there's not a smoking gun, but she was too smart for that. She thought about it. She planned it. She made sure we could never get her, right? She took precautions, but she did make mistakes. And that's what all those exhibits are. Mistakes. My spin and the spin I'm putting on all the evidence, that's not, it doesn't matter what my spin is. It's your spin. You look at the evidence, you decide. I tell you what I think it shows. They tell you what they think it shows. What's the other side? What do they think it shows? They don't have to prove anything. I have to prove the case. Yes. But what are they saying? Wendy. Oh, no.
Charlie, definitely. Wendy, maybe. Not Donna. But also, not Charlie. We were getting next story. Not Charlie. I mean, you can't have it both ways, right? It's like hard to get your head around it, but we can't be getting extorted by the killers who killed Dan Markell on their own. And also, Charlie's pretty guilty and Wendy looks a little guilty too. It's got it like, there's no lane that's been picked. And they don't have to prove anything, but they're throwing all that out, right? And it's like, you were getting extorted or Charlie and Wendy did it behind your back and they don't tell mom what they're doing. Can't charge Donna because Charlie already went down for this. No, that's not true. Everyone is responsible for this murder should be held accountable for their role, not just Charlie, not just the two killers that came here and shot him. Everyone that played a part in it should be held accountable. They said some things in their closing that doesn't comport with my recollection of the evidence. For example, Corbett said that the defendant did not send the Evite. My recollection is the complete opposite. You guys took notes. You have remembrances. You guys rely on your own memory. I don't want to go through every single thing, but there were a few of those. The only complaint from a 3- and 4-year-old was, Grandma says you're stupid. Oh, that's dumb. Well, no, I remember that the kid also said, Grandma hates you. Rob has an axe to grind. Mary Hull said that the Adelson Institute was Charlie's until 2022. Not my recollection, but hopefully you remember that it changed hands in 2015. No SunPass records. Do you need SunPass records to know that Donna Adelson was outside Charlie's house on the night of the murder? We didn't know that. Catherine Magbanua told us when I got to Charlie's, he told me his parents had just come, right? And brought the money. But when we looked in the records, there's a text outside your house corroborating what she said. That's important. She was outside his house. Oh, well, she had the garage code. Why didn't she go in? I don't know if she went in. Maybe she did. She told him, I'm outside your house. He said, 10 minutes. It's going to be there in 10 minutes. Maybe she did go in. I don't know. But she was there. That I do know. I don't know why she's denying that. Grandma motion. We disagree with what the words say. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I say the words say, I don't want the kids around Grandma because she's disparaging me. Somebody needs to be there to monitor. They say, no, that's not what it means. It means something else. Charlie's extortion story. She wrote the checks because she had to save her son's life. Well, right. So if that's the case, we're picking lane two here down below. And that's where all that evidence comes up about that pushes back on that. Like that couldn't happen. They're not going to be spitballing the drug dealer defense years after they've been extorted. Like that didn't happen. That was a lie, right? That Charlie came up with in his testimony and that she then kind of got stuck with after saying all the truth is out, truth is out, truth is out. Plus she's got to come up with something for the writing those checks. She paid for the murder.
Oh, sidebar.
Uh-oh. Did she just say, can you give me five more? Is that what she said?
I couldn't make it out.
I couldn't make it out either.
But that's there's a sidebar now. I don't know what they're objecting to. She paid for the murder. As you were saying, Stacey, earlier, what about the checks? Because she's going, well, the money's Charlie. Donna wrote 44 checks and signed them.
It reminds me of the excuse of, you know, the battered woman with the two black eyes saying, I fell down the stairs.
Todd, pause it for a second. Really quick.
Boom.
Look at this. Look at this shit show. This I think one of them. I mean, if you're watching this, like if you're listening to this on the podcast platform, God bless you. But this is such a visual show today. You need to be checking this out on YouTube and just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi to do that. But oh my God, what the hell is that woman wearing behind behind the Jeff Dunham puppet named
in
Harvey?
In Florida, no less. I mean, it looks like it's a cape. It's like a shawl. It's almost like backwards.
She's a little cold in the courtroom. That's what that is. It's like a blanket or something.
It's so chilly. She's one of those. She's the angry boomer mom that, you know, I always just, it's so chilly in here. Can you turn the heat up? It's just so chilly. Everybody else is like dying and they're just like, thank God it's air. You know, I'm going to turn the heat up. Because I'm uncomfortable. Is that okay? I just did it. I just didn't tell anybody I was going to do it, but I did it. I'm speaking from experience.
They're okay. Back, just so you know.
Okay, let's continue. But look at that. I mean, yeah.
I'm going to get one for Christmas from you.
It looks like she's wearing a Snuggie.
It'll have the Hidden Killers logo on it, though, Stacey.
Ooh, merch idea for Christmas.
Not my recollection. What's the pushback on extortion? Her behavior on the wire. She doesn't say, oh my gosh, it's happening again. She doesn't say anything about the prior extortion. If the prior extortion had occurred, she would immediately tell him it's happening again, or some reference to the fact that this is something that's been ongoing. She doesn't do that. Instead, she talks in code. It's a TV. What the heck? Why are you talking in code? Her Googling extortion versus blackmail 7 days before Charlie's trial. That wouldn't happen if the extortion was real. She wasn't extorted. Charlie didn't tell her there was an extortion because there never was an extortion. She was paying for a murder. She knew it was going to be a murder. She's the one that wanted it done. Her discussion of Charlie's lawyers meeting with Garcia's lawyers. What? If she was being extorted by Garcia, and Charlie was being extorted and his life being threatened by Garcia, they're not going to be, their lawyers aren't going to be meeting up. Look at those text messages. She said, bring cash. They say, oh, that's not code. She said, bring cash. She literally said, bring cash for dinner on that call. It's not a hint. It's a code word. They say the bump failed. I say the bump succeeded. She said it involved the two of us. That was before we got made. Before that Matt Suri operation where they literally see the camera in the bag and know the camera's in the bag. Yeah, she called and put on a great show when she called the undercover. But what did she say in the first call, the second call, and the third call before we got made, before she knew it was law enforcement? She said it involves the two of us, both of us. Okay, I want to hit one more thing. Don't call time on me. 2 years after the murder, we've got two emails, 64T and 64I. The defense told you in opening that this defendant cares about others more than she cares about herself. The problem is that she decides what other people need, what's necessary for other people in their lives, and she is willing to justify whatever ends she thinks are needed. Right? Any means to get to those ends are justified in her mind. The problem is she doesn't care about the collateral damage to get to her ends. Evidence has shown that this defendant, I think, did believe that Wendy and those boys were better off in South Florida. She thought that's what they needed. They would be better off with her. And she was angry that that couldn't happen. Dan Markell is the thing standing in the way. What was the cost of that to not only Dan Markell, but to those little boys? Those little boys lost their father. Look what she says in 64T. Children are 2 and 3. Children do not even have a memory of life before age 5 or 6.
Jesus Christ.
Look what she says in 64II when Wendy is concerned. This is 2 years after the murder. Her child is having trouble at school, crying because he misses his father. And this woman, this nice grandmother, innocent woman says, quote, I still do not believe that Ben is sad about his father. Quotations on the sad. 64II. I still do not believe that Ben is sad about his father. I spend a minimum of 25 hours a week with him, and oftentimes more than that, including weekend times and sleepover days, and have never experienced a time when he was sad. I think it's just another phase of the many, many phases that kids go through. The problem is they have a highly intelligent and sensitive mom. She doesn't believe that this kid is sad because she can't take accountability for her own actions and the catastrophic consequences that this had on everyone's life in her family, not just her son, not just her daughter, not just Rob, not just Dan Markell, but those boys who lost their father. It wasn't better for them to be in South Florida. It was better for them to have their father. You must not base your verdict on the feelings of sympathy, prejudice, bias. Your verdict must be based on the evidence and the law. Yes, she's a grandmother. Most murderers don't look like that. But the evidence has revealed what she is. Please don't let her appearance influence your verdict in any way. It involves the two of us. What about the script? They didn't even talk about the script. She wrote a script for a witness that was perjured testimony about based on a lie, an extortion lie that's been proven in court to you to be false. This defendant tried to erase Dan Markell, thinking there would be no harm to those little boys. They don't have a memory of their father. They feel the absence of their father. This defendant decided they didn't need their dad. She doesn't get to decide that. She wanted it done. She brought the money. She stroked the check. She didn't have to do that. Charlie was a signatory, had signing power on that account. He could have written the checks. She wrote the checks. Why? Because she was neck deep in this thing. She wrote the checks. She said it involved the two of us. She wrote that script. May you have the strength and the common sense to see this evidence for what it is. It's only one thing. There's only one truth. It can't all be right. It's only one truth. Render a verdict that does justice. Find her guilty. Thank you.
That got me a little. That got me a little emotional.
Yeah. Need a tissue.
Roger Cavalman wins.
Person who resides in your deliberation. The foreperson should see to it that your discussions are carried on in an organized way and that everyone has a fair chance to be heard. It is also the foreperson's job to sign and date the verdict form.
Let's jump out of the audio of this now. He's going to go over the jury instructions now, which if you care to watch, it will exist. We'll have all the unedited testimony up there for you shortly. But my God, she came in with some stuff that we hadn't heard before at the very end.
And I thought that was those nuggets.
That was genius. I was pissed with that last little bit. Children do not even have memory before five. So this is the cunt sitting there and
did you just say that?
I did, because she is. And reasoning out to herself and others around her that these children will have they don't have any memory before five. So if I killed their father before then, they don't know anything. Or if he died before then, there's no memory. And I do not believe that Ben is sad about his father. Really, bitch? Really? So you're telling me you have this little kid and you have a parent that exited their life at a very young age.
Yeah.
And he's not going to be sad about it. I mean, and he exited in a way that dad had no choice. Dad was taken out. I've seen this on a personal level where the parent chose to exit.
Right.
And let me fucking tell you, it has an impact.
Yep.
It has a fucking impact. You ignorant cunt. I don't use that word lightly, and you know I never really use that word, but I think it's appropriate in this moment because I don't know any other way to describe this monster.
I mean, it shows just how much she's trying to justify this stuff to her mind. As she sits there, you can just see her seething and the wheels turning in her mind, trying to justify all the shit she's being called out on. And it's just, well, I did it for that. I did it for this. This reason is that. This reason is this. And they don't understand. They don't, it's ultimately, they don't get me. They don't understand me. And the fact that she's the age she is now, and this is how, you know, just ingrained this shit is into her, it's never going to change. I mean, she's going to go to her grave thinking she's in the right. You're never going to see her be, when she's found guilty, you're not going to see a moment in sentencing where she's going to apologize. If anything, you're going to see some sort of grandiose narcissistic statement of how she did this all for her kids. And she'll probably throw them under the bus even more. And Wendy will be watching it from a cell, because by that time I'm guessing she's not going to be free. But just the disturbing nature of her narcissism on display, this is what this is about, kids. I mean, if you don't get it, this is the perfect lesson in unhealthy narcissistic parenting and the damage that it can do. And I know I overuse that word all the freaking time on this show, but all roads lead back to it. With the folks that we talk about, so many, this is the reason.
They do. And a lot of, I was going to say, a lot of our clients, if you will, they are narcissists. That's how they get on this show.
Yeah.
So it's almost like it's a prerequisite. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is what you, I mean, most people who aren't of that pathway don't end up killing people.
Maybe if you have a healthy, healthy brains don't do this.
No, and believe me, I've had reason in the last 2 months that I could have offed somebody and I didn't, okay?
It's good.
Never crossed my mind. But that is the difference between a narcissist and a normal person who goes, oh, some really bad shit just happened to me. Okay, I'm going to figure out my life and move on.
No, yeah, I mean, they're trying to justify all these horrible things Donna was saying, at least, you know, Tom Petty was arguing that Donna was saying, like, she had carte blanche to say whatever she wanted.
Yeah.
Because Wendy didn't basically include her enough in her divorce proceedings, didn't clue her in enough on what she wanted to do. It couldn't be that maybe Wendy wants some separation from mom, that maybe mom shouldn't be in the courtroom because mom, by the own admission of the attorney, can't keep her yapper shut. You know, so she said, you're just going to be more of a hindrance to me in my life in this situation. So I got to keep you at arm's length. No, it's hate. It's she doesn't love mom, but that's how mom's going to spin this as this child that's not grateful for all the things that she's done for her, that it's that. And we're going to take it out in our closing arguments with your doppelganger, Tom Petty. I mean, what is going, oh my God, this is just a train wreck.
Sad that Wendy couldn't divorce her mom. You know, she could divorce her husband, but not her mom.
I think Rob did.
Rob absolutely did. And believe me, he's got scars from it. That man is damaged from that family.
But he's a better person for it. He's surviving. Yeah. He's living a life. He's paving his own road. And his kids are probably not going to repeat the path of Donna.
Right. It's a beautiful way to break the cycle. And that's what's really important in healing is break the fucking cycle. And that's exactly what he did. Wendy, not so much.
No, Wendy chose the easier road. And this is why so much of this stuff happens is because the easy road is stick with it. It is what it is. It's how my family is. It's just who they are.
Got to deal with
you it. You only get one set of parents. You only get one mom. You only get one dad.
Still mentally your mom.
Mentally abused the shit out of me throughout my whole life. Now they killed this and they did all this other shit, but it's just, but you get, it's the lobster in the pot. You don't realize how bad it is until somebody on the outside says, that's your family. Really? That's your family. And I think Wendy is still, you know, sitting in, you know, somewhat lukewarm water going, I kind of like this hot tub. This feels, I don't know if I want to get out to the cold.
I don't know if she is. I you know, at this point, if she doesn't realize what the hell's going on.
Well, now she does.
We had a great, one of our viewers had a great comment earlier about a lot of them,
probably overlooked some of the bullshit because maybe somewhere down the road there was some money involved and an inheritance or something like that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, money always does talk. And if you're in a family where you may end up with something at the end, you appease mom and dad a little bit.
Yeah, you hold it. You hold the toe the line long enough. If that's worth it to you, you know?
Right.
Sometimes the money just isn't worth it.
Not in this case.
No. No, God, I mean, you're by the time you get the money, your life is so destroyed and ruined and you are so damaged yourself. Even if you want to get a grip on life and live a healthy life, you already got the scars that are so damning that they're just not going to go away no matter how much therapy you get, no matter how much you mask it with this or that. I mean, this is so damaging. It's never going to go away. I feel like the amount of stuff that they threw out there about Wendy today and Harvey,
it's coming.
They laid them out. They took the truck and they went forward.
Yeah.
And they reversed.
They did.
And then they went forward again. And then they moved the bodies a little bit more to make sure that the head was going to get crushed by the 18 wheels. And then the 18 wheels went over that again.
Yeah.
And then Donna said, hang on a second. Let's get him from this angle, too. And she backs the semi up and just, Jackie, hit the gas. And I'd be booking that flight right now, Wendy. You may want to go private because you might get arrested pretty quick at a commercial airport. I don't know. Cuba, is that not extradition?
Yeah.
Where could she get like a domestic flight that's like that can get somewhere? Cuba, maybe, where you don't have a non-extradition treaty. But oh my God. Mm-hmm. Is there, okay. I mean, we'll wrap this up here. We've been going on for almost 5.5 hours. And thank you guys. I mean, obviously, welcome to the program, everyone, that we do this live, and welcome you guys to, now we're, when this is life when we have a closing case like this, and it's kind of fun. It's like doing the Christmas program in hell.
What program is this?
You know, you're really excited. It's a big day. We're going to be spending a lot of time on the air. We got to, but my God, this is, yeah, any chance did Jackie make any sort of dent in that jury that you're going to have one juror on that end going, I don't know. I mean, this is a trial. It's taking place in Florida with people who wear those maroon Snuggie outfits that they got at Dayton's in 1987 on the sale. And they got some of those Frangelico chocolates, too, that they only sold at
Dayton's as well. You and I will have to talk off air about your second Dayton's reference here. Anybody who's listening and watching from the Midwest is like, wait a minute, Dayton's? Whoa, dude.
Target was Dayton's in the basement. But anyway.
Realistically, how soon do you think we'll hear something? I mean, are you thinking maybe tomorrow morning, midday? What do you think?
I don't know what they're doing right now. If they're going to give them time today, they may.
In Florida right now.
Right.
So, I mean,
and they may say, because sometimes when it goes to a jury, they're like, they'll go beyond the workday.
True.
They may give them an hour or two just to see, you got something? And if after like an hour or two, they're like, no. I mean, they may go back to that jury room and kind of get a feel. In theory, it's not a crazy thought. They might go back there for about an hour. And if you got something, they may just come right back. If they don't, then, and it's like, well, we need to talk this through. Then they'll probably say, all right, let's call it a night and go home. My money's on probably tomorrow. But we'll have to find out here shortly what the judge decides. Cause I think that's being decided right as we're speaking, what the plan is going to be. So how about hours? Let's not pick today or tomorrow. Let's pick how many hours will it take of deliberation to come back?
I'm going 3.
Todd?
I'm going to go a little higher than that. I'm going to say 5 because you might have a couple of people that go, well, what about this though? And blah, blah, blah. But I don't think it's going to be all frickin' day tomorrow. I just don't.
No, I don't either. I'd like to say like $1, Bob, but
How about 301? Just to screw me.
Just to screw you. It's between three like and five. Because I was thinking five, but I kind of feel like it's going to be between three and five. I'm going to go 301.
And then the bell rings, ding, 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 ding. You win the $100 in Bob's pocket.
I'm going to go between both of you, and I'm going to say that it's somewhere between 3 and 5 hours. Right. And really only because they really want to get the Subway sandwiches. they already put the order in. Yeah. They checked the box for toasted. They're excited. I mean, come on. Who
wouldn't be?
Who wouldn't be at this point? So they're going to go enjoy those subs and damn Donna to death or to prison for the rest of her natural existence.
Yeah, that's not very long, I'm guessing.
I can't imagine it will.
God, I hope it is, though.
I do, too. It is. You know, that's the interesting thing about narcissists and thing. There is a thing called narcissistic collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's rare, but I would say Donna's probably in a position where that may hit. Narcissists don't typically end it themselves. They don't. They tend to keep going.
That's all they know.
That's all they know. And they have too high of an opinion of themselves, ultimately, no matter what they're going to tell the world out there. I mean, they oftentimes will I want to say fake, but they will, some sort of thing that they're going to do to themselves. They're going to harm themselves. They're going to hurt themselves. And not that you should always take that seriously if someone says that, but that's the problem with them. They'll say it a lot to the point where you don't take it seriously because it gets them attention. It gets them help. The first thing she's probably going to do is she's going to be ill tomorrow. Yeah. That's what it's because you go down to like, I got nothing. I'm sick. Not that it's going to stop a jury from rendering a verdict, but I've seen verdicts rendered where the client isn't in the courtroom.
Yeah.
They're sick. They're too ill. And then they just render it. I mean, there was one. Who was it? Was it Daybell?
Yeah,
no, was it Chad? Might have been Chad. I don't know that Chad was in the courtroom. There was someone recently in the last year or two that was like a big deal and they didn't come to court. I think it was Chad was there. I think it was the mom that had the son that was autistic and there was a murder involved. Like they killed the son. They killed the autistic son.
Yep. Oh,
and the other kid that clearly also had some autism going on. And I felt bad for that kid because he was just reeled in by mom and had no clue what the hell was going on. And they found him guilty of the murder too. But I think she didn't show up. And she was recently in court she's appealing it, I believe. Was that in Wisconsin? That might have been a Wisconsin case. I don't remember. I could be wrong.
Fuck all the way off. I hope we never cover that case again.
Yeah, that was a really messed up one. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't see any way where this is not going to come out guilty for Donna. I'd be shocked. But again, who knows? There is no such thing as a slam dunk case. There really is not. You could get, like I said, one of those snuggie wearers on that jury that just totally relates to Donna, that has done the same shit to their own family their whole life and has gotten away with it. Not necessarily to murder, but they're sitting there going, well, that's just like me. She's disrespected. Her kids are disrespecting her.
Right.
They're adults. They're trying to, but it's not disrespect. They're just living a life. They're being their own human beings. But to that person, that's outrageous. That's disrespect. To a narcissist, that's like the ultimate disrespect thing. And I noticed Jackie was bringing up that term quite a bit today too.
Mm-hmm. Quite a bit.
Outrageous and disrespectful. Really? Is it? So there you go. We'll keep watching this. As soon as we are aware that there is a verdict coming in, we will jump back on the air. and we will bring that to you live as it happens, you know, providing we can get to the studio in time. But we will certainly, you know, let you know as soon as it happens and get your reactions as well. Like I said, I'm guessing it's not going to happen tonight, tomorrow morning. You can join us at 10 a.m. Central. They may have a verdict by then. I don't know. And we'll be discussing the case. Eric Faddis also going to be joining us, defense attorney and former prosecutor, to kind of give us both sides of the aisle on his assessment of how everything went down. So we got a lot coming to you in the next 24 hours of breaking down this case. All right. Anybody else got anything?
No, I need to go pop some more popcorn, though. It's going to be necessary. Yeah.
It's going to be time. I need a beverage. I do. All right, everybody. Thank you guys for watching. Let us know your thoughts in the comment section. If you're watching us live right now, thank you. Press subscribe wherever you're watching us, whether it's on YouTube, Facebook, whatever. And subscribe to the podcast. Wherever you get podcasts, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. You'll find us there. And on YouTube, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi as well. And that's, of course, where you can comment on YouTube. All right. For Todd, for Stacy, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now. And don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.